Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You better you bet on radio.com and the radio.com app.
One of our favorites here on You Better You Bet, that is the Junkyard Dog, the JYD. That is Jeff Davis, of course, the director of trading at Caesars on Twitter at @_Junkyard. JYD, it's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley. You Better You Bet radio.com sports on a Monday. My man, how the fuck you doing? How was the weekend? How did it treat you and yours at Caesars?
It was a tumultuous weekend, to say the least. Saturday, the fact that we won money on Saturday was a minor miracle. We lost pretty much every game during the day. There were a lot of games that, you know, we didn't have all that much of a decision on. But when it came down to it, we were going to need Wisconsin for everything. We got up to 17. That's where the sharp guys chimed in. Wisconsin plus 17, went back to 16.5 and just hope for the best. And Wisconsin tried their best to gag it away late, but they didn't. That game put us in a black for the day. And then yesterday, it was like more of the same. We only won one game from start to finish all day yesterday. And then we needed the Rams for, you know, black market organs, other people's organs, you name it.
My organs.
Nick's hair, for that matter.
No, that never gets bent. That doesn't get bent. I'd rather give away my kidney than my fucking hair. No way.
Yeah, put a price on it.
Yeah, and of course, like, I rarely watch the Sunday night football game because I'm so burnt out of football by the week, you know, from the beginning of Saturday to the end of Sunday. I usually just go home and play with my kid. And I turn the game, I'm like, I need to actually watch this game because we need it for so much. And NBC took a shit on DirecTV in our local area, and we couldn't watch it. So you put it on NBC, and it was just that awful elevator music. So I didn't get to watch the first half, and then I didn't need to watch the second half. So, no, it worked out yesterday, too, but it was a rough ride getting to the end, that's for sure.
Jeff, just curious, you know, now that the playoff rankings have been released and, you know, some of your futures clarity has come into focus, we know who the four teams are, which means we know all the 126 teams that can't win the NCAA or the college football playoff by rule. Were there some big wins in there for you guys in terms of maybe Alabama or some other teams that didn't make it?
We actually needed Alabama to get in. That was, you know, looking back on it, that was our biggest win. Biggest win of a team that actually could have won. And then as you got toward the end of the season, you realize they probably weren't going to win anyways. We're not in a good position on Ohio State. It's a small loser. I'm assuming it's like that throughout town because that was always – they were always the shortest price over the last 4 or 5 weeks. I think a lot of books got hit earlier at prices like 8, 10, 12, 14 to 1. So nobody's in a good position on Ohio State. We're in a phenomenal position on Clemson. They were the one team because they struggled early. Nobody wanted to take the 5-2 or the 3-1 that they were most of the year. But, you know, everybody kind of knew they were playing this ACC trash. And, you know, they were just going to be there in the end. And sure enough, here they are. So that's who we're rooting for. We're rooting for Clemson pretty good as far as the future market goes.
Take this for what it's worth, but I think you guys are going to be pretty happy. But again, like, what the fuck do I know? You know what sounds like a novel concept also, like not watching the games? I was so fucking miserable yesterday to the point, Jeff, that I thought like it may impact my relationship with my girlfriend. I was so miserable. You know, like, I at some point just need to just fucking be like, fuck this and go take a walk somewhere when the shit's going wrong. Anyway, back to college, back to shit that people actually care about.
There you go.
What have you seen thus far? Action here on the two national semifinal games, Ohio State, Clemson, LSU, Oklahoma, and anything else from the bowl games that got set that that you want to tell us about?
Well, we opened the lines LSU minus 10 and Clemson minus 2. We were kind of on an island there. A lot of places open pick 'em, Clemson, Ohio State, but we feel pretty strongly we had the right number. Somebody who usually just sits in a book to pick off numbers sprinted to the window to bet the plus 2 when it came up. And, you know, we went to 1.5, and what do you know? Numbers back to where we opened it. It's back to 2. And that just kind of figures to be – it's going to sit in that dead zone between pick and 3 all along. I can't imagine it getting smashed one way or another. The one we were wrong about, LSU, we opened 10. It's up to 13 now. And really, we had to get to 13 to see any action on Oklahoma whatsoever. We had somebody take Oklahoma plus a 13 today, back to 12.5. But early action, almost 3 times as many bets on LSU. I figure that to continue. We're going to need Oklahoma. We're probably going to need it for a bunch. And given, you know, it seems like there's one awful blowout every year, and this team's really not on the level of the other three. Probably going to have to do some maneuvering to get some Oklahoma money to come in, because I don't think I'm overly comfortable with needing Oklahoma for a large sum of money.
I think that makes a lot of sense. I don't know if I'm comfortable needing Oklahoma for a large sum of money, but Nick and I are going to discuss that a little bit later. Nick apparently very comfortable needing Oklahoma for a lot, maybe not the hair, but like a lot of money. Jeff, in terms of the total for both games, like my first thought, I didn't see openers when the matchups first came out, but I saw the matchups and I just go, God, what is the total in LSU Oklahoma going to be? Because I just the first glance, people are going to love that number that are sort of public guys. What, you know, total wise, what can you tell us about each game?
We opened 77. We saw it as high as 79. That didn't last very long. We took a bet under 77, went to 75.5. Someone else chimed in over 75.5. So we're sitting at 76 now. You take a look at the market, anywhere from 75.5 to 76.5 is the number. I can't imagine, you know, this is the weekend after Christmas. Christmas falls on a Wednesday. I would assume anyone who's coming out that weekend is going to do Christmas at the house, get on a plane Thursday morning, and be ready with fistful of dollars to fire it in on the weekend. It's a great slate of games that day. You know, and all of those players, they're not going to come to the window and put their hard-earned money on under LSU and Oklahoma and have to sweat that one out. We're going to need the under. We're probably going to need it pretty big. And I'm okay with needing any total that's this high under. A lot has to go right for it to get there. That being said, Joe Burrow is Joe Burrow and is probably going to throw for 405 touchdowns. But, you know, again, total in a high 70s, I'll take my chances under. The other one, we opened 62.5. We drifted up to 63.5. A little bit of money on the over, but not much. Not much in the way of sharp action one way or another, and honestly, not much in the way of public action. Nothing to report here on a Clemson-Ohio State total.
I'm looking forward to getting into that game with Lockie, the LSU-Georgia game, and Joe Burrow, who was absolutely transcendent in that SEC championship. It's good a game you'll see a college quarterback play in a big spot. He was absolutely unbelievable. Jeff, outside of the two college football playoff games, the New Year's Six slate actually kind of sucks this year. Like, I think the playoff is a million times better than the New Year's Six, but maybe like any of those games, maybe Alabama-Michigan with Bama as a 7-point favorite, Saban and Harbaugh, any action to report on any of the non-playoff games, the big bowl games in college football, or maybe some of the smaller ones if you took any big action on any of those either?
You know, you look at the New Year's Six game, and we just think if you make the Georgia-Baylor number on raw numbers, the number has got to be in the double digits. But then after the way Georgia just – everyone got hurt, and they really just didn't look like they belong this weekend, how much do they really want to go play in the Sugar Bowl, where I assume Matt Rhule or whoever might be coaching Baylor at this point, given Baylor's expectations and where this program has been, I think there's – a pretty big motivation advantage for Baylor here. So the number we opened at 7, haven't taken much action either way. I see some 7.5s, even an 8 out there. And given that that's out there and no one's laid 7 yet, that kind of tells me where the train of thought is right. And handicapping these bowls and putting up lines on these bowls is kind of difficult because it really, like, there are so many guys that either don't care or they haven't been practicing or playing for, you know, a month and a half in some cases. And a lot of these games, you're going to have six, seven, eight guys not playing for either team. You look at Michigan, Alabama. I mean, is Alabama really going to be motivated to play in the Citrus Bowl on New Year's Day when they've got all these NFL prospects? It's a really tough game to get a read on, and honestly, I have no idea what's going to happen there. It's the weird dichotomy where during the season, your limits are lower on like Sun Belt games and Conference USA games because they're just not on TV and nobody cares. When honestly, you could look at this bowl roster, and I would assume there'll be more integrity in the First Responder Bowl between Western Michigan and Western Kentucky than there is going to be in the Michigan-Alabama game, because you know the rosters on those two teams and you know those two teams want to be playing. When Michigan-Alabama, I'm not so sure. So, you know, as far as handicapping bowls, it's hard before you know, before you get any of the information that's bound to come. I mean, every year there's three or four games where they suspend like eight guys for academics or this reason or that reason. So, you know, bet at your own peril at this point.
Jeff, turning the attention to the NFL, the Thursday night game, I have a hard time believing the public is going to just line up and say, give me the Jets in this game. And I see a big number out there. What so far with Baltimore sitting about 15.5 on the board, what kind of action have you seen in the Thursday night football game?
We have yet to write 10 bets on the Jets. It's been up since, you know, we put it up last night around halftime. Public piling in on the Ravens. We did take, you know, a decent sized bet from a guy that, you know, seems to know what he's doing plus 15.5. All I've got to say to him is good luck. You know, nothing against the bet, but are you stomaching the Jets on the road on a short week against the best team in the NFL? I'm not. You know, not a number I like to lay here, but I look at this game. We're going to need the Jets. We probably won't need it for a ton just because when these games, like the four touchdown spreads in the college and the two touchdown spreads in the NFL, they just don't draw the interest that the other games draw. No one wants to lay the big number and no one wants to take the points. So you're kind of, yeah, are we going to need the Jets? Sure. But I just don't think the Thursday night game's not going to make or break us this weekend.
Anything noteworthy from Monday Night Football tonight between the Giants and the Eagles in Philadelphia?
You know, it, kind of a dead game. I think the air got taken out of the bubble from the public Sunday Night Football. They were really on a roll. They went for it on Sunday night. They didn't get there. If the Seahawks got there, there would be so much handle on this game. People coming in for the weekend trying to make a big score. We need under for a bit, but we need over for a bit, but not all that much. I think a lot of it is public seeing what the weather's like. It's pouring rain, you know, but the number got bet down from 47 to 45 earlier in the week. The sharper guys knew that they read these weather forecasts early in the week and they get on the numbers that they think are going to move. There's almost no decision for us tonight. Wish I could give you guys something, but it's really nothing for me to give you other than who doesn't want to watch Eli Manning play quarterback again.
Jeff, Nick and I haven't talked yet about games this week coming up that we like, but one that stands out, and if I'm reading the board correctly, I mean, maybe you got hit on this. I know a couple other places did. I kind of like Denver. They're getting a really big number at Kansas City this week. Looks like maybe like board painted 10-ish right now. Have you guys taken any money on Denver, or what's the action been like in Broncos Chiefs?
Especially because in Patrick Mahomes' hand, obviously, that issue obviously is one of the reasons why, I'm guessing, Jeff.
Yeah, we looked at the board today, and the screen lit up. Like three people chimed in on under simultaneously as the Mahomes news came out. We actually pulled it. There's really no – only people betting on Monday are really, people chasing a number. So we pulled it for the time being. The difference from Mahomes to Moore, it's probably 5.5, 6 points. It was more – no pun intended, before Matt Moore made a pretty good appearance on Sunday Night Football when Mahomes first missed the game. But I think the number probably goes, if it opened 11.5, maybe that was a little high with Mahomes. It's probably closer to a touchdown, maybe even below with Moore. So we have that off right now. We'll see. We'll wait for some news and see what happens on that one.
How bad are you guys going to need the Bengals on Sunday? # on to Cincinnati. Patriots coming off a couple losses. And I'm guessing the narrative is going to be no greater tonic to cure their ills than a trip to face Zach Taylor, Andy Dalton, and Cincinnati.
You know, I don't know. you know, that we were pretty even to that game this weekend. Granted, they played the Chiefs, but people have just seen the Patriots look, you know, mortal, I guess, for lack of a better word, and just not so sure. Yeah, are we going to need the Bengals? Absolutely, but not for nearly as much money as we're going to need the Jaguars for on Sunday. That's going to be fun. You know, if anybody listened last Wednesday, you know, we all talked about, you know, give me the Jaguars for all the money. Well, I currently have none of the money. I didn't understand that line at all. And then I watched the first half and I'm like, oh, yep, there it is. This team has quit. The Jaguars look completely disinterested. That is the game that we are going to need for. I mean, who's betting? Are you betting the Jaguars this weekend, Nick?
No.
You know, I mean, and you love underdogs and you love the Jaguars. So if you're not betting the Jaguars this weekend, then I don't think anyone is.
Jeff, the game that got flexed is kind of an interesting game. It's like two gritty teams that I feel like people have, you know, sort of realized are kind of on the up and up here. Buffalo and Pittsburgh, really small number. I know the Steelers have kind of typically been viewed as a public team, but has there kind of been any interesting action one way or the other in Buffalo, Pittsburgh?
This is going to end up being like one of your typical sharp versus square games. We had somebody lay one this morning that we respect. We're up to two. I see anywhere from 1.5 to 2.5 in the market. Tickets are 4-1 on Buffalo. Granted, it's early, but usually these, you know, the parlay count tickets are usually a good indicator of where the public's going to be, even though it's still early. Not to change the subject here, but you asked if I could give you anything on tonight's game. And in the last 5 minutes, we had somebody bet under 45 and somebody bet over 44.5, but both win. So if you guys are looking for the something on the total, I got nothing for you. Anyways, back to where we were. I think the sharper money's going to back the Steelers here. They play really, really, really good defense. Buffalo, if they can't run it with Singletary, they're really going to struggle to move it. I know Pittsburgh's coming back from the West Coast road trip, but yeah, I kind of lean Steelers here. Everything's going their way. They've been playing good the last, you know, 4 to 6 weeks. I'm clearly not sold on Duck Hodges, but, you know, that's not the reason why they won this past weekend, and that's not the reason why they're going to continue to win. They're going to play good on special teams, and they're going to play defense. And I just think this game, you know, for a Sunday night game, it's got some serious playoff implications. Like Buffalo is, you know, they've kind of looked the shoe in sort of to make the playoffs, and they got a tough little run of games here. There's a chance if they lose Sunday night, there's a way Titans win. They could find themselves out of the playoffs here in a couple weeks. This one, I will be watching this one because my girlfriend is grew up in Buffalo and her family are lunatic Bills fans, Bills Mafia. I will be, whether or not I want to watch this game on Sunday night, I will be watching this game.
And the Bills have the Patriots coming up next week in week 16. That's the tough stretch that Jeff just alluded to. Rams-Cowboys is fascinating. Normally, the Cowboys are obviously one of the most public teams, but they're absolute fucking horse shit. And the public last saw the Rams absolute dominate on Sunday Night Football against the Seattle Seahawks. What do you anticipate? What kind of action are you anticipating here? The Cowboys is a one-point favorite, total at 49. Looks like the over's taking some money here. What do you think it's going to land at when we approach kickoff on Sunday? Just kind of empty the tank for us here. What you've seen and what you expect, Rams and Cowboys on Sunday.
Yeah, this game, I saw it in places far away. Cowboys -3 before the game last night. We open the NFL board at halftime, but we don't open the games involving the two teams that are playing in case there's a catastrophic injury. We opened it this morning, Cowboys -2. That got scooped up quickly. We're down a pick. I even see a couple of Rams -1s out there. And to give you an example of how much public flips, when the public pounds a team or they bet against the team and then that team screws them, they can't wait to bet on that team next week. It happens every week. Right now we have written a grand total of, yeah, that's correct, no dollars on the Cowboys. Everyone is piling in on the Rams, and it's going to be public. It's going to be sharp. I can't imagine this game, you know, gets past like Rams -2 or Rams -2.5. That seems like a bit of an overreaction. I know the Cowboys have looked, you know, frankly awful the last few weeks, but there's just too much talent on that roster for their power ranking to crash this much in a couple of weeks. I know Jason Garrett is an idiot, but, you know, I just, if this game gets to 2.5 or 3, I might have to hold my nose and go to the window and bet Dallas here.
Jeff, the one betting angle that I won on Sunday was like the dumbest betting angle of all time, which is when Kirk Cousins plays a bad team, the Vikings always cover. And when Kirk Cousins plays a team that challenges him, they never cover. Now this week they're at the Chargers, and I don't know what the fuck the Chargers are, but I imagine that's a team that Kirk Cousins should roll over. The Chargers kind of look appealing to me as a really small dog. Have you seen any action on them against the Vikings?
We've written as much money on the Chargers as we've written on the Cowboys. And if you weren't listening to me about a minute and a half ago,
that was negative $0 somehow. Right.
And we've seen what the Chargers do at home. And honestly, their home games aren't even really like home games. The stadium holds like 35,000 people, and it's all road fans. I mean, when Pittsburgh was there, it was ridiculous. It was all Pittsburgh fans. So, you know, I can't figure in all that much of a home field advantage here for the Chargers at all. To me, it's Vikings or pass. I don't think you can look at what the Chargers did last week and put any stock into it at all. They played a team in full surrender mode. I'm kind of with you, Ken. I kind of think Minnesota seems a bit cheap here. I don't necessarily love them in outdoor games, but you know, L.A., the weather doesn't figure to be all that bad, and the Chargers are kind of, you know, lame duck at this point. And, you know, if my NFL tiebreaker game is strong at all, I don't believe the Chargers can make the playoffs anymore. So, I mean, what are they really got to play for? So, yeah, I kind of like the Vikings here, too.
Are you ready for one of the great kiss of deaths you'll ever hear? I feel like sure. There may be the best two-team teaser of the entire NFL season emanates from this Texans-Titans game. Jeff, how is Houston +9 under 43.5, whatever the fuck it is? How is that not an absolute winner? How is this game not Titans are up to -3 right now. Houston's going to throw the ball all over now. Now, Tennessee might run it all over Houston as well. I kind of like Houston. I love the over here. It seems like everyone's on Tennessee right now, and we just saw Houston lose to Denver in embarrassing fashion. What do you got on this game? If these two teams play twice in the final 3 weeks, going to decide the AFC South.
So as far as your teaser goes, teasing totals is just not a positive EV move. You know, could you win and might you win? Sure. But if you make that bet, you know, 1,000 times, you're just not going to win money. I do like the Texans as part of a teaser leg. If you're talking teasers, I think teasing the Cardinals through the 3 and the 7 at home, catching, you know, 8.5, 9 against the Browns might be your other teaser leg. But back to Texans Titans, we had somebody that come in and bet the Texans +3 today. And he's a guy that isn't here all the time, really selective, picks his spots, you know, and wins a good chunk of his bets. So we went right to 2.5. We were the only 2.5 in the market. Somebody that really all they do is read the screen and doesn't actually have an opinion. They laid the 2.5 pretty quickly. So we got off that bet. We're at 3 even now. I would expect the sharper money to come in here on the Texans just based on the fact that, again, a couple of weeks ago, the Texans are going to be favored over the Titans on a neutral field. I think this line's a bit inflated off of what we saw last week. You know, we all joke about how bad of a coach Bill O'Brien is. You know, Mike Vrabel's not coaching circles around anyone. So I think from a coaching perspective, there's not much in it. The public's going to back Tennessee because the public only backs what they saw last week. Probably another case of pros versus Joes. I would assume this one. If you like the Texans, I would take the 3 now. I have a strange feeling this one's the 3's not going to be there for very long. I'm with you, Nick. I like the Texans here.
Jeff, Bears-Packers seems like forever ago that this was the opening Thursday night game. Bears, I think, closed something around 3.5 in that game at home. Now the Packers are at home in the rematch much later in the season, and with all that we've seen, the Packers are a 5-point favorite. You know, have you seen anything in this game? And when you guys are kind of discussing lines like this, how much does the first matchup play into the handicap of the game?
Given it was week 1, it really is just you almost forget it even existed. It's too far back to really matter. We took a decent sized house player bet, Packers -5 this morning. We went to 5.5. Someone we respect scooped up the 5.5. Now we're down to 4.5, which most of the market is kind of the same. This game will do a lot of handle. Two popular teams. And I really have no idea what to make of the Packers. I kind of expected a little bit more out of them yesterday. I'm not going to call them life and death to win because they weren't. But I think against the Redskins, they probably should have been a little bit more convincing than they were. The Redskins getting the money yesterday was the only game we won before the night game. The Redskins, that was one of our biggest decisions of the day. Luckily, that one got there. This week, I just don't know what to make of the Packers. Like, I want to think that the Packers are far superior to the Bears, and, you know, they should handle them. But nothing the Packers have done have really given me any confidence this is going to be the case. The Bears have played better the last few weeks. And you know, you look at the points, it seems a little interesting, but I just can't trust Nagy and Trubisky going into Lambeau in the cold weather. I just don't know. Total pass for me. I think the number's right. I don't think it moves all that much. I would expect if it does, it probably goes closer to pick than it does 7. Not that it's going to go to pick, but that's the direction it's going to go. It's going to go toward the Bears.
Give me the Bears in that game on the money line. Sorry, I was going to win that game outright. The Packers are fucking frauds. We'll see. I'll probably end up taking the points. Jeff, my final question for you. People should follow you on Twitter at @the_junkyard. You're very entertaining on Twitter, both when you talk about sports and just like random life bullshit. I personally get a big kick of your tweets about food and like the food your girlfriend makes, the food that you go out to eat at restaurants or whatever. So curious, if you were on death row, I know this is a little morbid, and you had one meal to eat before execution, your death row meal, appetizer, entree, dessert, what would it be and why?
Do you want just a general meal or do you want items from certain restaurants?
However you want to answer the question, Jeff, okay. The last meal on the planet for you, you get to choose it, and then you die. So this is it for you, buddy. So you better choose wisely.
All right. Let's see. I would probably go. My last meal would be at Bizarre Meat in Las Vegas. It was at the SLS Now Sahara. Jose Andres is the chef. It's the greatest food experience I've ever had in my life. They have a bison carpaccio. With Ooh. Like pickled celery and crumbled blue cheese. Whoa. With a little hot sauce on top of it. Out of this world, and you kind of like roll them up. They serve it on this nice wooden board. It's incredible. Then I would move into probably a grilled octopus, which they serve with like little mini
Hell
red potatoes.
Yeah.
I would eat that as the second course. My main would be some type of giant piece of cow with a bone in it, cooked medium rare. I don't particularly care what cut it is. I usually go porterhouse. The side would be mashed potatoes with either garlic, horseradish, or blue cheese, and a ludicrous amount of butter and a green vegetable. And then dessert would be either tiramisu or cheesecake.
I love the thoroughness behind that answer. That was fucking great. Jeff, you're fucking great, man. We urge everyone to follow you on Twitter at @the_junkyard. Jeff, of course, is the director of creating at Caesars. Jeff, anything you'd like to promote or anything you'd like to say to close the interview today?
If anybody actually likes listening to my nonsense, I will be subbing in for our friend Alan Berg tomorrow in the GT Cash Considerations podcast with our friend Dave Sherapan and Motoy Pearson. That'll hit the airwaves tomorrow afternoon at some point. Always a good laugh when I join. So listen in. Those guys, they need some more followers. Always a good couple hours.
What was the word? The a ludicrous amount of butter? I love that. I would love to use a ludicrous amount. I want a tub of butter for fucking everything.
I mean, ultimately, potatoes are just the vehicle to put butter into your body, correct?
No doubt. That's fair. Jeff, we appreciate it, man. Be good. We'll catch up with you soon and look forward to interacting on Twitter. And we'll check out the podcast when you're on it tomorrow. GT's Cash Considerations. Thanks.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
That is the JYD, Jeff Davis, Director of Trading at Caesars. We love when Jeff comes on. Lockie, if you were on death row, and what would your final meal be?
Oh, man. I'm let me try to think along the same lines. If I do like actual food from places or just like, you know, food, like homemade food. My mother's lasagna is in the mix for the homemade food. That would be
okay.
That would probably be like homemade meal. That would be up there. My mom's fried chicken also up there. That'd be homemade meal. And then the food I could get anywhere. There is a Mesa Grill at Caesars. I should have talked to Jeff about this. So
can I ask a better question? Do you think it's a better way to ask the question as opposed to being like, I would get something from this restaurant, and more like, I would have this dish? So like, maybe it's steak.
Well, you're talking to people that love eating out. So you're talking to people that love eating out. So we're more likely to answer the question that way, I think. So Mesa Grill at Caesars has a New Mexico pork tenderloin that is like with a sweet corn tamale too. It comes with it. Oh, and it is just like
tamales.
Get a little house-made margarita, special margarita made with that too. Just, I might just fly to Vegas tomorrow morning. Let me check some flights.
Eli,
knock that out real quick. So.
Eli, your death row meal would be what?
I knew this was going to happen, and I don't think I have a great answer.
Probably, come on.
Probably some sort
of
deep
like
dish
to eat?
Pizza.
That's really it.
It's
like,
food.
What do you like to eat?
It's
okay.
Just food.
Deep dish pizza.
Yeah, Giordano's, Lumalnati's. Give me something like that. Some sort of like heftier mac and cheese where you have the bread crumbs on top. Ooh. There's this good place in Chicago that does a little broccoli
let
in there,
go.
Too.
Yeah, we'll
what?
Go.
What? Baked mac and cheese? Are you kidding me?
What's
lobster
on top of
mac and cheese, maybe, I could buy.
Put the little broccoli in there. What's wrong with that?
Did anyone hear what Eli said except for me? Or, Ken, are you just playing fucking pussy possum like you usually do?
I knew you were going to accuse me of this at least once tonight.
What did
I promise,
say?
In this
you
case,
said
I did not hear what he said.
You said breadcrumbs, and then you corrected yourself.
I think I said crumbs.
You said breadcrumbs, and you're like, breadcrumbs.
I don't even think that makes sense.
It's an instantaneous one. You're the one that said it.
Welcome to the most childish possible edition of You Better, You Bet.
I'm just saying, I'm shocked that I was the only one that picked up on that.
Usually I'm good at that one. Usually I give you an eye roll or something, you're looking at me, and I'm just going like...
I have a hot-ass food take.
Oh, hot-ass food.
I don't like bacon wrapped shit. That's number one, but that is not
that.
The take I'm going to give.
Very un-American, but that's okay.
I only want to eat lobster like by itself, which is orgasmic, or like in like a lobster roll. Yep. I want lobster as far away from my mac and cheese as possible.
Oh,
the lobster
ruins
the mac and cheese for me. It ruins it for me.
Oh, I love lobster too, and I agree with you. And eating lobster by itself is phenomenal. However, lobster and macaroni and cheese also happens to be phenomenal. So
I think it's nasty.
It's just different.
It could be my fault.
Multiple different lobster meals you can enjoy. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with more lobster? You know.
What about dessert?
Can I put lobster in something else? I don't know.
Wrap up.
This is really easy for me. I don't know.
Before you hit the chair, what's the dessert you're eating?
This is really easy for me. I don't know if this is like a weird one, but I'm a really, really good key lime pie. That's my jam.
Wow.
Love key lime pie. Love it.
That's an interesting choice. I like key lime.
I love key lime pie.
I don't know if I would choose. Do you know, have you ever had olive oil cake?
No.
A restaurant here in locally in Stamford called Barcelona. It's like a wine bar. I had olive oil cake from there, which is basically like a sponge cake that's been like soaked in olive oil.
Okay.
It is absolutely fucking outrageous. And I feel like I said this on the show before also, and I feel like when I went to Japan this summer, Japanese desserts are wildly different from American desserts. Yep. Japanese desserts are very simple and like tame. Like you would never go to Japan and have like ice cream with like peanut butter and like cookie dough and all this shit. Like the Ben and Jerry shit, which I love, by the way. I'm not knocking it. I love that shit. I ordered Froyo this weekend that had like 9 million toppings in it. It was delicious. You would never like, that's not how they roll. So like I had these like very simple desserts in Japan for like 2 weeks straight. And I kind of
like what?
Grew to
what
really
simple
like
desserts?
It.
Like give us an
so,
idea.
Like,
rice pudding or
so,
something
like,
or?
Like mochi. Have you ever had mochi?
Yep.
Or
I
like
I know I said yes to that and you were like, what the fuck are you talking about? My brother went to Japan and is like a huge Japanese like Asian studies person, so that's the only reason.
Yeah. But like there's a lot of stuff that's filled with like sweet bean paste. Like that's a lot of their dessert. It's like bean paste, matcha, which is like green tea powder almost. So there's a lot of stuff. I'm not a huge fan of the matcha. Like I had purple sweet potato ice cream in Japan. It was incredible. Absolutely delicious, because it's like it's a little sweet but not overpowering sweet the way American desserts are. And again, that's not a criticism. I like American desserts.
Right. I like overpowering stuff. I want the food. I want the tastes of the food to overpower me. So
see,
peanut butter, cookie dough. all that shit.
With my desserts, I find that I now enjoy a more subtle dessert now.
Okay. Well, key lime pie, although tangy, is subtle. So.
Key lime pie is a subtle dessert. Like olive oil.
Not a lot of flavor going on. Yep. Only one flavor really going on there. So good crust. Yeah.
So the froyo that I ordered this weekend was Tahitian vanilla from 16 Handles. Tahitian vanilla.
That's your jam. That's your jam right there. Yeah.
Well, I need I don't like a base chocolate. I want like the base to just be the base and to not overpower potentially everything else. So,
right.
Like, vanilla.
Your canvas.
Whatever.
From which to build your dessert art. Yeah.
Graham cracker crust.
Yep. With you so far.
Reese's warm peanut butter sauce, which essentially is peanut butter.
Just peanut butter, but like with way more sugar in it. Yeah.
And yogurt chips.
See, you lose me on the yogurt chips. That's where you lose me on.
My girl turned me on to them. Like, I would never have ordered them, but like in this particular like combination, I feel like they're pretty
good. Okay. I feel like the place probably knows what it's doing. If it's giving you peanut butter sauce and some other stuff, graham cracker crust. So.
No, I made my own. That was
You made your own. I'm sorry. Well, I trust you too. You probably know what you're doing too. While we're on the topic.
Maybe not. The thing what though?
Maybe
delicious.
Not. Maybe just throw yogurt chips on something.
I like the you just give me like a thing, like a tub of peanut butter, and I'll eat the whole thing with a spoon, and I'll be satisfied.
When I do, if I do protein diet, when I do that for like weeks during the summer, I just literally I wake up and I just eat peanut butter, and then I like go for a run. That's like my morning schedule. It's like, let me just eat some peanut butter.
I love peanut butter, man. Like if.
Smoothie.
If you perfect if you put edition. Peanut if there were peanut butter in my apartment, I never have peanut butter in my apartment because I know what happens. Right. I'm eating all of it.
Right, we come and on I the air and you're like, you bet on a Monday night.
No, but like peanut butter in moderation is healthy. It's not healthy to eat like a half a jar of peanut butter in one sitting with a spoon. Not
I would
healthy.
Say not. Yeah,
and that's what I do.
Anyway, I think we agree on that. I think we agree on that.
You know, who's a huge. By the way, you know, who's a huge fan of peanut butter.
Gamblara.
It's actually unconfirmed. Well, Gamblara definitely loves peanut butter. I heard through the grapevine that a certain co-founder of a certain company named Codable, big fan of peanut butter. Her name, of course, is Gretchen Huebner. Now, Gretchen, you know, she got the educational tech company, Codable. She needs to hire a game artist. And look, hiring's hard. Who wants to hire people? Like, I just want
Not
things
me.
Done for me. I don't want to do any of that crap. But if I ever had to, I would do what Gretchen did. And I would get ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. So not only do you not have to find them, they also don't have to find you. ZipRecruiter does all the work for you. Why wouldn't you want to use ZipRecruiter and use their screening questions to filter the candidates so you can get the right one? Gretchen used ZipRecruiter, and she found a new game artist in less than 2 weeks. With results like that, Ken, it is no wonder 4 to 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter, they get a quality candidate literally within the first day. Within 24 hours, you get a quality candidate if you use ZipRecruiter. And that is why you, dear listener, and you, dear viewer, should see why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes by trying it for free at our exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/enter. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ENTER, ZipRecruiter.com/enter. It is ZipRecruiter, and it is the smartest way to hire.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.